Alright.
Cool.
This is a chopper!
You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time.
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day!
I'm gonna take you to the bank. To the blood bank.
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. And hear the lamentation of the women.
Groovy.
Hello and welcome to Good for an Action Movie. I'm Max Steele.
I'm Will Thornton.
And today we're going to be talking about Edge of Tomorrow, subtitle, Live, Die, Repeat.
Or as I like to call it, Live, Die, Repeat, subtitle, Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's not really clear what they're going with. So this movie was released in 2014. It is a science fiction and action movie. When it was released, it kind of bombed a little bit.
Yeah.
It was not so successful. I think it was successful not domestically. I think it made a bunch of money overseas, which makes sense if you see the movie a little bit, because it's a very smart movie for Americans.
Well, it's also set in Europe, which is crazy.
It is insane for an action movie. What was I saying?
Well, looking at the IMDb stats, the budget for this movie was about $178 million.
Oh, and it only made $100 million.
$100 million. I think it's safe to say that is a bomb. This is a big budget action movie that did not do well.
And there might be a couple reasons for that. So you might remember this movie as the Tom Cruise movie that came out like right after Oblivion.
You might remember it as the trailer that you probably saw a million times in theaters like I did that went like this. This is not the end. It played that song over and over again.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. I had not seen this movie until I watched it now, but I saw that trailer over and over again. And the trailer does not do the movie justice.
Yeah, the trailer says nothing about the movie, which is very dumb because, like, in the trailer, which is very detrimental. So a lot of people, I bet, thought it was just some dumb action movie.
Yeah.
But it's very smart.
Not that it's not explained, because it is. Well, we'll just go ahead. I mean, we should just say what the little plot.
Yeah, I want to explain it because I don't want to ruin anything. Because
no, this is a
yeah, because it's a perfect movie. This is one of those movies, just like John Wick I mentioned earlier. I watched
perfect. Wow.
Yeah, I watched in the perfect way. You know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I had heard nothing about it, and I thought it was going to be terrible. My friend wanted to go see it because he said it got good reviews, and I didn't believe him.
He was a big Bill Paxton fan.
I am a huge Bill Paxton
no,
fan.
Your friend was.
Oh,
come on, man. The Pax has a new movie out. Come on, Max. Max and the Pax.
Our new sitcom.
Max and the Pax. All right. Podcast over.
Thanks, Will. But I saw it like – I didn't see it a second run. I saw it at first run, but no one else was in the theater. But I was honestly, the first time I watched it, I was kind of blown away because I don't even like Tom Cruise, who was the star, but he really blew me away. But we'll kind of get in.
He's not the star.
Emily Blunt is the
Emily
star.
Blunt is the star. Brendan Gleeson is the star of this movie.
Brendan Gleeson is in it for 5 minutes.
Yeah, but he's so cool.
He is really cool and good in the movie. But this is what happens in the movie. So the movie is set in 2061, which isn't
really.
Yeah, it's not given in the movie, but after reading about it,
Max, are you talking about the movie or the fanfic you wrote about the movie?
So the fanfic series I wrote about. No, so it's set in like 2061. So in the not so distant future, there's a war between humanity, and it's not exactly an alien race. It's kind of like an later it's described more as like a disease, or it's not a disease, it's like they're basically like robot aliens. It's not
they're
really,
robots,
they look like robots.
Yeah,
they're an
not
alien.
Important, they're a bunch of things from space that they've taken over Europe.
Yeah, and for some reason they're like wiping out humanity.
Yeah,
so a lot of countries in Europe combined to form the UDF, the United Dairy Farmers, no, the United Defense Force, and they develop these suits, which are basically like, kind of like the thing that Ripley wears in
Aliens, or like the things in Avatar, or there's been a lot of sci-fi movies, or I guess, yeah, or like Power Rangers.
Yeah, but anyway, they develop those, and then that allows them to kind of fight them more efficiently, because they can just put in the normal soldier in there. And so this is all in the first like five seconds of the movie you learn all this in a pretty cool sequence that's like CNN posts and like TV spots, and we find our hero Tom Cruise. He is a major in the Army and he does marketing, so he's not a ground troop. He does marketing in the
Army. Very important. He is not combat trained.
Yeah, so he's a major in the Army. He was in a marketing firm before the war, and he's hired to sell the war, basically.
Yeah, he's basically spinning the war effort. You know, he's a regular old Bernie Baruch out there selling war bonds, essentially.
So. Yeah, and so the movie kind of opens on him meeting with Brendan Gleeson, and Brendan Gleeson of In Bruges.
General Mad-Eye Moody.
Yeah, and General... Hey, I forgot about that. I forgot he was in...
Yeah, I made all those Longbottom jokes when we were watching it.
I know, I just realized
You that. Just laughed along.
No, I realized at the time, and then I forgot, and now I realized again.
Oh, isn't it fun when your mind does that? It's like learning again.
I love learning. But especially about Sphinx cats.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we can't talk about the Sphinx cats yet. Rob's not going to be able to talk about this movie.
So Tom Cruise meets with Brendan Gleeson, and Brendan Gleeson basically doesn't need Tom Cruise's services anymore. And basically kind of shanghais him. I don't know if that's the right word. He's going to send him into combat. Basically strips him of his rank. He's a private now. He's essentially like railroaded and kidnapped and put on an army base and somewhere in Britain, somewhere kind of near France.
Yeah, it's not really fully explained why this happens. At least I don't know. It's not important to the movie though, really.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's like, not important to my movie.
It's a plot device.
Movie. Yeah.
Did you direct this movie?
I directed this movie. It was not directed by Doug someone. Who has directed it?
Doug Liman. Liman, probably.
Is directing it. But, sorry, I'll get back into the synopsis. So, Tom Cruise is forced to become a private, and he has had no combat training, and he's forced to go out in the front lines, as explained in the movie, the tip of the spear. So, essentially, he's just sent to death because these monsters that they're facing are kind of unstoppable, especially, like, in a first wave and stuff like that. So he's essentially just being murdered. But when he's on the field, something happens. We won't really specify. And he is killed. And after he is killed, he wakes up to relive the same day again.
Yep, Sonny and Cher is on the radio. Ned Ryerson approaches him in the streets. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a... You know, which... I actually would like to pitch an alternative title to this movie, since the title is probably something we'll be talking about, but I think it should be called Groundhog D-Day.
Oh, yeah.
I think that movie would have done much better if it was called Groundhog D-Day.
It probably would have, maybe for different reasons.
Well, there's a lot of D-Day parallels, actually, to it. Like, it's supposed to make you think of D-Day, because they're invading France from Britain, and it's very much like, you know, the onslaught of, like, we just have to throw our troops at this beach to try to make a landing here to then start our inland ground assault.
The big, like, the first, like, big action sequence reminds me a lot of, like, Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah,
it's very similar.
Yeah, I think it's really supposed to emote that feeling of, like, oh, this is, like, you know,
this is
invading
terrible.
Yeah, invading the Nazis and taking back Europe, which is what, I mean, yeah.
And just, like, how desolate, because they're just getting mowed down.
Yeah, it's not going well.
Yeah, this is an R-rated movie, right? Is it R-rated?
No, it's PG-13.
Wow.
It's not that violent.
I mean, but a lot of people die.
That doesn't stop PG-13 anymore, but some of those,
like, and you get to see the, and it's not a spoiler, you get to see the invasion from a lot of different perspectives.
Yeah.
And there are so many deaths, a lot of people get mowed down. It's pretty heavy, but... Yeah, so, and it was actually released on June 6th. Did you know that? So it was released on D-Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's got to be intentional.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
There's a lot of World War II parodies in it, which is really smart. A lot of the things in this movie that are really smart aren't even addressed. Like I said, like that, the first minute of my synopsis that I gave is the first, like, 10 seconds of the movie.
Yeah, and just to say, I mean, I think people know this about this movie, is because they changed the title to Live, Die, Repeat. The movie is essentially Tom Cruise reliving this day over and over again and using his information to try to make a difference in the war.
Mm-hmm.
and he teams up with Super Soldier Emily Blunt, who is, you know, I'm personally a huge fan of Emily Blunt. I don't think she's ever made a bad movie. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe she has, but I haven't seen it. Everything I've seen her in, she's been really good. And I think she is a great action movie star. And so is Tom Cruise. Like him or not, Tom Cruise knows how to be in an action movie. Mm-hmm. And they are, I think, really good in this movie.
Yeah. Tom Cruise is I don't like Tom Cruise that much as an actor. He's amazing in this movie. One of the reasons I love this movie is that when you're introduced to Tom Cruise, he's just such a cheeky, little snobby person. Like when he's talking to Brendan Gleeson in the beginning and he finds out that he has to go on the ground for the war, he tries to sleaze out of it.
Yeah.
And
it basically tries to blackmail Brendan Gleeson and say, I can't be put in a combat role, which I actually remember now. I had said earlier that it wasn't fully explained. I think he was supposed to be filming the landing, mm-hmm. and he refused to do it. And so Brendan Gleeson had him basically charged with desertion and stripped of rank. So, but like I said, that's the first 5 minutes of the movie.
But it's just so interesting to see Tom Cruise in such a low status role, which I've never seen really him in before. And he basically is he's kind of the lowest of the low. He's a private. Everyone mm-hmm. hates him.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun to see him kind of get kicked down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he had a big role in producing this movie too. So it kind of, I guess that can show him not being typecast, because he might have helped kind of form the movie, which can go against typecasting.
Yeah, I think definitely. In many ways, he's the generic action hero, but he does that role so well, and he sort of lives in the character a lot, and it's such a sort of interesting premise for an action movie that I think that benefits his performance a lot, which I would like to say, this movie, as grim as it can be, also is very funny.
I would compare it
to Aliens, which is a very serious, no one would call Aliens an action comedy, mm-hmm. but it has some legitimately hilarious moments in it.
Oh, yeah.
Both movies starring Bill Paxton. Bill Paxton's in this movie. He is a sergeant, right?
He's a sergeant.
He's sergeant for Tom Cruise's troop that he's assigned to.
Sergeant Farrell from Science Hill, Kentucky.
That's true. He's really good in the movie.
He has one of my favorite lines, though.
Let's hear it.
Tom Cruise asks him, "So you're an American?" "No, sir, I'm from Kentucky."
Wow. Growing up in Southwest Ohio, I can relate. I know a lot of people from Kentucky.
Yeah, he's one of the most enjoyable parts of the movie, because as you relive this day over and over, you catch up on different things that he says over and over again.
Yep.
And you look forward to just hearing them again, because they're so entertaining.
Yeah. And this movie, it's sort of, I already made the Groundhog Day joke, but it has a sort of similar feeling where you're left wondering throughout the movie, oh my gosh, how many times has he done this? Because he starts to know every individual move. And it does it really cleverly, where they don't show him learning all that. He just knows everything. So you're like, oh my gosh, he's had to do this so many times. And the other thing, which I mean is evident from the title, is that the only way for him to reset is he has to die. So Tom Cruise is killed in this movie countless times.
And it's so funny.
And they do it really funny. That's where they see the comedy in the situation of basically, he breaks his leg and Emily Blunt will walk over to him with a gun and he'll, no. And then he'll just wake up again and he's like, ugh.
Yeah.
And he's got to start the whole day over.
Oh, yeah. Another thing this movie does really well is that with a plot device of a repeating day, some things can get repetitive, but that is not in this movie.
No,
that doesn't
not at
happen
all.
Once. It's very well edited and put together. So nothing gets old. They only show you the parts that you need to know. And every once in a while, they'll just show something that you saw before, just so you know, when it fits in the timeline.
Yeah.
It's very beautifully constructed.
It is.
In
it's
that
a
way.
It's, I mean, this movie, for all that it bombed in theaters, was a very well-received movie.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for an action movie. You look at its critical reviews, no one... This is not a movie that is, it's not a hidden gem per se, in that it wasn't received well, and we think it deserves better credit. Like, people were like, man, this is one of the best action movies to come out in the past couple of years. It really and just is. No one saw it. And
yeah, I absolutely love this movie. Just full disclosure.
Yeah, I'll go. I mean, I had not seen it. I was one of those people who just saw that trailer as I was going through that summer, seeing a bunch of other movies and just being like, ugh, I could not want to see that less. Like, generic, you know, that's what that trailer screams. Whereas the movie is really, in my, like, I think it's pretty cutting edge.
It's and so smart.
Very smart movie. For it's smart for an action movie.
S-fam.
S-fam. And I think I'll go back to, like, I really do think a lot of that has to do with the title and just the way it was marketed.
Yeah, it was not marketed well at all.
And there's a really interesting aspect to it, which I think they could have sold it as, is that if you think about it, this movie is like playing a video game. And I was thinking of that the whole time, and I'm sure I'm not the first one to make that observation, but the idea of perfecting your path through this battle, which is what Tom Cruise does. After you die and have to basically respawn every time. And that is such an interesting idea to play with. And Edge of Tomorrow is like essentially the like a great movie adaptation of a video game that does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
And this feels like, you know, there could have, I mean, it would be a pretty basic video game. Alien invasion, you gotta, you know, storm the beaches here and kill all the aliens. And that's mm-hmm. what it is. And they just do it in such a fun way.
Yeah, it was actually, once again, I like looking at the IMDb trivia page for a lot of movies that I watch. Edge of Tomorrow was actually, it was a manga and it was a novel before it was, it's based on a novel and a manga with possibly the greatest title ever constructed, which is All You Need Is Kill.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. That's what they should have called this movie.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would have done better. It would have.
Yeah, it's a Japanese manga and novel, and it was inspired by video games. That's what the author says. Yeah, he said he just thought it was a really interesting idea. And that's a great part of the movie, but some of the other parts is that you can have like an amazing plot like that and an amazing idea but not go anywhere with it. They really focus kind of on the humanity of that situation a lot.
They do.
Like, Tom Cruise is kind of torn apart at points because he has seen people die so much, and people that he forms relationships with, he's seen die many, many times. And it's heartbreaking at some points. And there's even a part in the movie where he basically doesn't allow Emily Blunt to do something because he knows it always kills her.
Yeah.
For all the times that he's done it. And there's a lot of highs with the movie because it's very funny, but gosh, it kind of tugs at you too.
Yeah, it's like the suicide montage in Groundhog Day it's just like Bill Murray just gives up and it's like, how much longer can I do this? And I just want to just, you know, never go through this again. But I think the reason Tom Cruise's character, whose name is Nick Cage, I think
it's Bill Cage.
Bill Cage. That's such a dumb name, but it's such a movie name. Bill Cage. Anyway, Major Bill Cage. Sounds like a character from Small Soldiers.
Oh, my God.
But
call back.
The reason he works so well is because, like, you feel for him, but he, like, remains witty and, like, you know, he never overly complains. Like, there is no suicide montage in the movie where he just gives up. He's always trying to help humanity because he's, like, their only hope to win this battle. And, but the heart of the movie is Emily Blunt.
The heart of the movie is Bill Paxton.
I'm just a big Emily Blunt fan. I think
I'm
she's
a big Bill Paxton fan.
All right.
Pax and Max.
Agree to disagree. Will and Blunt.
Oh God.
What else to say? I think this movie shot really well.
Yeah. In terms of like the action, cause this is an action movie podcast. The action is really exciting.
It is. It's really well done. And it is not shaky cam. It is not, it's like,
even though it's handheld a lot.
It's handheld, but you never feel like, oh God, give me a break, Christopher Nolan. Like, quit shaking the camera around. He did not direct this movie. Just me. That's just me complaining about Batman Begins. But it works really well. We've done a lot of movies recently that have very little action. This movie is an action movie. Yes. It is nonstop from 5 minutes in when you get the basic premise to just boom, 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 right through the final sequence, mm-hmm. and the movie's over. And I was glued to the screen the whole time. Normally, we do a lot of bits during when we watch these movies. This movie, we didn't like talk at all because we were just so into the movie.
Yeah, and in terms of the action as well, another really cool part is that the effects are not really practical, but they're done very well. The CGI is really good in this.
Yeah, they picked a good style of alien. I won't say too much about it because mm-hmm. it's kind of fun to just kind of watch. But you know, there's aliens. I think they look pretty good. The ship effects and explosion. I mean, that's mm-hmm. stuff people can do in their sleep now with CGI.
Yeah, but still people mess it up all the time.
People do, but people sometimes get too overambitious of what they're trying to do. And this movie is just like, okay, we're going to do a lot of special effects extravaganzas, but we're not going to like focus on that so mm-hmm. much that it's going to detract from the movie mm-hmm. And the story that we're trying to tell, mm-hmm. which is a really good story.
Yeah, and a lot of it is the CGI interacting with real things and real people. Like the beach is, it's like gray sand. And a lot of the movie is people in those mech suits.
Yeah.
Interacting with that type of environment and the aliens interacting with it. And it looks very real. I think that's where a lot of movies go wrong, is that the CGI looks fine, but once it interacts with something, it just loses it.
Yeah.
And so like it does it perfectly in this movie. It detracts from nothing.
Yeah, it just, a lot of movies, you put the CGI thing, if you have a CGI movie like Avatar, you can get away with it looking pretty good until Sigourney Weaver walks in she's a real person. You're like, ooh, those big blue things look really fake. If that's all you're looking at, you can kind of get lost in it. Mm-hmm. It's like in the Hobbit movies when like every now and then the orcs will change from CGI to a person in makeup and you're like, who is that? Like, I don't recognize that character because he looks so much more real than they did when they were CGI.
Yeah, but yes, kind of, if you want to start wrapping up a little bit.
Yeah, we can wrap. You have any final thoughts about Edge of Tomorrow?
This is just a great movie, I think. I think it's definitely one of my favorite movies that have come out in recent years. Like I said, I saw it in the perfect way and absolutely love it. I loved watching it again. It goes by really fast the second time, but like not in a bad way. It's very smart. It's good for an action movie.
It's good for a movie.
It is. It's also good for a movie.
This is a good movie. I'd say I highly recommend. I don't think it's on any streaming services, but I rented it for 99 cents on iTunes.
Yeah.
So if you want to watch this, check it out. It's worth a watch, and it's an hour and 50 minutes long, which in a bad movie, like not a bad movie, but in a movie like Dr. No, which is an hour and 50 minutes long,
really
feels like an eternity. But this movie blew by so quickly. And it's just a ton of fun, and it takes you through highs and lows, and the characters are likable. The relationships feel real. The action is heart-pounding.
Oh, yeah.
And there's like really good stakes at the end of the movie for the final sequence. I think it delivers right up until the end.
The ending is amazing. The last shot of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. That.
Mm-hmm. We won't say anything.
Yeah.
Like, do you not like it?
I don't know. It's something. We can maybe talk about it after.
Oh yeah, that's a post credit. That's a post credit. Scene.
But we can do ratings and recs. I think we're gonna have some good ratings.
Yeah,
and some recs.
Yeah, cat recs. Do you want to start since I started last episode?
Oh sure. I would say as a movie, I would probably give this like 3.5 stars. Because I don't think it like transcends in is like a tremendous film, but it's really good. I couldn't really pin down anything wrong with it. But 3.5 stars, solid movie. Definitely one of the best action movies to come out in the last 5 years. This movie kicks every Marvel movie's butt, except for maybe like the first Iron Man, in my opinion. I think it's better than all of them in terms of like how fun the action is. Oh, that's controversial. But I don't think it is. If you watch this movie, I think it's more enjoyable than any of the superhero movies. And then as like an action movie, I'd give it like a 9 out of 10. Like not quite a 10, but really, really good. Fun stuff.
I was going to give the exact rating. So this is two episodes in a row that me and Will have given the exact ratings. I'll just kind of go through real quick. So like as a movie, 3.5 stars out of 4. I think it transcends as an action movie. And that's kind of my score for a transcending genre movie. 3.5. And then as an action movie, it's so good but it's not Mad Max Fury Road.
It's not Mad Max, or it's not
Die Hard.
Yeah, Die Hard. This is not The Empire Strikes Back. Like, these are not movies that are like defining genre movies.
But it's so darn good.
But it's really good, and I think everyone should see this. This, I wish this movie had done really well. I wish there's so much room. I guess there's room for a sequel.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm in a way, I'm glad it didn't do well, because there is no sequel. It's just like a standalone movie
that I just want more blunt.
Really good. More blunt. You'll get more blunt.
All right.
What is your recommendation, Will?
Oh, my recommendation. I'll give two. I've been talking a lot about Emily Blunt, so I'll recommend The Adjustment Bureau, which is the first movie that I saw her in, and that's a really good movie. It's kind of an interesting take on a very, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's fantasy, but it's a very, like, kind of sort of human take on it. And it's good cast, and I think it's a good movie. And Emily Blunt's in it. And then my recommendation that I was going to do that I had planned, I watched for the first time recently, Lady Snowblood, which is a 1973 Japanese movie. It is the inspiration for Kill Bill. If you like Kill Bill, you'll like Lady Snowblood, because they are shockingly similar. And it's not really a shock. Like, you know, Tarantino is never shy about crediting the movies that inspire him. And down to like specific plot elements, Lady Snowblood just is Kill Bill. But it was really good. It's like that stylized version of violence that you see in Kill Bill. It's a good movie. You know, it's in the Criterion collection. So, you know, it's got respect out there. And I'm looking forward to seeing Lady Snowblood 2, which does exist, and I want to watch it. So those are my two recommendations, Adjustment Bureau and Lady Snowblood.
Lady Snowblood 2, Snowblood, Snow Fury.
Snowblood, Snow Problems. It actually does have a subtitle, but I don't know what it is.
Oh, man, I'm so excited to find out. So my...
If only there was some sort of internet movie database I had pulled up right now.
Oh, man, what a perfect world it is.
I wish there was an internet movie database. Lady Snowblood 2, Love Song of Vengeance. Just came to me.
I know, that was amazing. Will went into a trance for a second.
I am my own internet movie database.
It is very true. As for my recs, so the first thing I have to recommend is Captain America the Winter Soldier, because I still have not seen it.
At least it's not freaking cats.
The second thing is The Himalayan Cat.
No, I'm not going to recommend Cats. The second thing is Cats the Musical. Yeah. That would be better than recommending just Cats in general.
I have been in Cats. I was old Deuteronomy. And I also hold the unpopular opinion of a lot of my friends who are into musicals, and I love Cats as a musical. But and that'll be just a slight recommendation. But my real recommendation, I would like to recommend a music album that I've just been. It came out
the Sing Street soundtrack.
Yeah, it came out in 1998. I don't know if you're familiar with it, Will. I don't know if it's the type of music that you're into, because it's usually not something I'm in. It's the indie rock album "In the Airplane Over the Sea" by Neutral Milk Hotel. Now.
I'm nodding along.
Yeah, just naming it, it kind of sounds a little weird and not really that. Just the band name, it's not a good band name.
I've heard of that name.
Yeah, and it I think a lot of people kind of groan if you just say that name, not knowing the band. But I have not heard any of their other stuff. But In the Airplane Over the Sea is a concept album about the diary of Anne Frank, and it is really, really good. It's indie rock, but it's kind of like an acoustic album, but also very, very fun. It's such a darn good album. I've listened to it like 4 times the last 2 days.
That's cool.
So that's going to be my recommendation.
Do they like sing just like through her diary?
No, it's not obviously about it.
Okay.
But there's a song called Holland 1945, and they refer to like things from her diary. Okay. It's not explicit, but it's like they've never said it, but it makes sense.
Yeah. All right.
Kind of a somber note to end on. But we want to thank you for listening today.
Yeah. Go watch Edge of Tomorrow. It is a great movie. After this song here, we'll talk a little bit about the ending. So I beg of you, if you haven't seen this movie, do not listen past this song. We're not going to be funny. It's not going to be enjoyable. So you're not missing out on anything. You're just going to spoil the movie for you. So just turn off your podcast player, hit pause, go watch Edge of Tomorrow, 99 cents on iTunes. Listen, I'll buy it for you. You send us an email.
gfam.will.max@gmail.com.
Yep, that's that. You can try it. We'll probably have an email by the time this is released, but we don't have one right now. But listen, watch that movie. Don't listen to this podcast. I beg of you. If we spoil this movie for you, I'm going to be really upset. That's my plea.
And Will find you. He will take the email that you sent him, use it in reverse searches on Google,
yeah,
and find your address.
I will do that if you watch this movie. I don't know how I'm going to find out. Maybe a tracker on your phone. Maybe you're one of my good friends. You probably are because you're listening to this, and I can't imagine that many people I don't know are listening to this. But if you come up to me and say, hey, Will, you ruined Edge of Tomorrow from me, I'm going to say, you dummy, I told you for 2 straight minutes not to listen to that podcast. And you're going to say, I didn't hear you. I was ordering coffee and I had the headphones out of my ears. And I'm going to say, you paused the podcast and then you ordered the coffee. You don't take out the podcast headphones when you're listening to it. And I don't want to ruin this movie for you.
You dummy.
Cue the music.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
It's over.
Nothing is over.
Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's over. Go home.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Okay. Once again, I just like to say,
we're going to talk about the ending.
Here come the spoilers.
Please don't watch it.
Max is going to say what happens at the end of the movie in 3, 2, 1.
So after everything ensues, the alien race has receded. Tom Cruise goes back to Emily Blunt. And so obviously they haven't met before. Still has his rank as major from before everything happened.
Oh, you want to talk about this part, like the last shot.
The last.
Okay, no, that is shot. A good part. I thought you were talking about the fact that he like wakes up.
Oh, I like that too.
I don't think it makes sense. That's what I was kind of like, because I was a little confused.
Well, so I think there's a lot of suspension of disbelief because the Omega.
No, I did not suspend any disbelief in this movie, Max. I believe that this is going to happen, okay?
In 2061.
I know that somewhere under the Louvre right now, the Alpha, no, what was it called? The Omega is there waiting for us.
The Alphas were the Blue Lion dudes.
Those things were kind of cool. They looked like D&D characters.
Yeah, I think they're all really cool. But, I mean, it's definitely like the low point of the movie, which kind of sucks. But it's such a small part of the movie, though. It's not really about that. It's more of a hero's journey. I mean, in the universe, it makes sense just because, like, the Omega's blood gets on him. And since the Alpha's blood gets on him and he resets that day.
Yeah.
When the Omega's blood gets on him, it resets even further back in time.
Or you could interpret that he now has the power to reset time.
Ooh.
I thought that might be the interpretation. Regardless, the ending shot is really good when he walks up to Emily Blunt and she says, who are you or whatever. Yeah.
Who told me you could talk to you?
Or no, because he's the major now. Yeah. So she basically says, like, hello, sir, or whatever. Like, what do you need? And he just gives that Tom Cruise smile and then credits roll.
And it's so cool.
It is pretty cool. But why I don't like the resetting time thing is because, like, I always get really mad when movies refuse to kill characters and they, like, pull their punches at the end. It's like, oh, no, you had such an emotional ending, and then he somehow resurrected. It happens all the time, particularly in action movies, because that's when characters are at risk of dying. Like, dramas, they actually
will
like,
die.
If they die, like, that's a part of the story. But in action movies, they're like, oh, we can't kill the main character.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. That can make it a better movie.
Yeah. I'm not going to say it would have made it a better movie because I just don't know how they would have ended it then.
Just show people celebrating. Like the end of Return of the Jedi. Just go, or the special edition. Just go to the different parts of the world, show people tearing down, toppling statues of the Omega, a la Mussolini in 1945. Show people, show, you know, people of different cultures shaking hands with one another, and have Anderson Cooper on there saying that the aliens have brought us world peace, and then have a message that we have a lot to learn and we need to stop fighting with each other. And then, oh, at the end, we're under the sea in the Marianas Trench. You get James Cameron to film it. He lives down there. So he's filming it, right? You circle down. You're going through the water. You're going through the water. An alien with Tom Cruise's face swims toward the camera. Roll credits. That's how you end the movie.
I said I don't think that would have made it better. It would have.
All right. Catch you next time.
Bye.